10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, the program where we examine the real news about the things that matter. I'm Nathan Liao. And our website is watchmanscry.com. Today in July of the year 2012, the hand of God Almighty is making himself known in the land of the USA. For those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, it is a divine visitation. Ladies and gentlemen, the strong arm of the Lord can melt mountains with a mere touch, and his voice can divide the flames of fire. And folks, his voice has spoken. And his words are now revealing themselves. And the words are saying, America, you have been weighed in the balance, and you have been found out. America's sins have reached heaven, and now she is under divine judgment. And my friends, this judgment is going to be prolonged, and it's going to persist. And we're not only going to see it, we are all going to feel it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the historic drought and heat wave that is occurring across the land as I speak. If you're a regular listener, you know what I'm talking about. And if you happen to be new to this program, I'm talking about the present season that is underway right now in America. To those that are observant, it is obvious that something is going on right now across the land. But here's the sad part, folks. Most people want to deny it. They want to ignore it, and they want to explain it away as a natural cycle. But my friends, here at Watchman's Cry, we don't pretend. And I'm not going to sit here behind this microphone and make stuff up. I'm not going to deny reality, and you shouldn't either. If you're wise, you won't. And if you want to discover what's best for you and your loved ones, you're not going to deny reality. And the reality that I'm talking about right now is the present story taking place in America. It's a big story, folks. America is in transition right now. Big change is coming. And these changes are going to reach many levels and many categories. These changes are going to affect many lives, which, by the way, include everyone that's listening, which means you and me, folks. The changes are going to be political, societal, financial, cultural, and even spiritual. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Is it because this is an election year? No. I'm saying these things because whenever God Almighty judges a land and a people, everything changes. And that means that everyone is affected. And my friends, today this is what is happening to America. Right now, our beloved country, it's under judgment, folks. It's a divine historic appointment. And on this program, we talk about what you can expect to see during this judgment. This ministry is Watchman's Cry, and it has been founded with a mission to warn America and the world of what's coming. And is my motive to just scare you and make you upset? No. My purpose is to explain to you that it's time to get a spiritual life preserver right now, my friend. A spiritual raft. It's time to become allied with Jesus, with God. It's time to seek spiritual restoration and healing. It's about spiritual homework, folks. And on the last News from the Wall program, we went into detail on what happens during a divine judgment. If you haven't heard that program, I want to challenge you to please hear it. Folks, if you're trying to get ready for the next phase of what's coming, I want to say you cannot afford not to know the details about it. That program explains what a judgment is, why it happens, and what usually transpires during a divine visitation. We talked about how long it lasts. We talked about what will be the challenges with everyone that has to endure the judgment. And we also went into the scriptures and examined what a judgment entails. If some of you have loved ones and you're trying to tell them, or you're trying to tell your friends and family about the present season, there is no way to properly explain it without biblical understanding, without a biblical view. There's no way to do it, folks. It cannot be done. And I'm amazed that even in the alternative media, in the media that we can find on the internet with those radio programs that you hear that talk about Liberty or the New World Order or Patriot Radio, I am amazed, folks, that a lot of the prepper talk and a lot of the survivalist talk will go into detail about how to bucket up food and how to have a bug out bag and how to have this and that ready and prepared. But very little of the content of these programs ever mention why you need to have a bug out bag. Have you noticed that, folks? A lot of the prepper radio shows do not explain why doom is coming. Why should you prep? Why should you do it? If you leave God out of the equation, my friend, you are wasting your time. It's just an exercise of blindness. Why is World War III about to happen? Same thing, folks. To leave God out of the equation is an exercise in blindness. Why is there drought in the land of America right now? Is it Al Gore's fault? Is it Obama's fault? Is it HARP, Monsanto, the New World Order, China, George Soros? Is he the reason that the temperatures are above 100 degrees right now? You see, folks, without a proper perspective, what's the point of talking about it? Folks, we're in a mess right now, and if we leave God out of the reason, then we're wasting time. A few days ago, I was scanning the internet, and I came across a popular radio program that has millions of listeners. It's part of the alternative media that is found on the internet, and they were talking about the drought that's happening right now. And folks, I was very surprised that there was not one mention of God in the commentary. Not one mention of why the drought is happening. And ladies and gentlemen, you cannot wage war against the New World Order and only limit yourself to carnal knowledge of the flesh. Because that's what Barabbas did, and you're not going to have victory by doing so. So again, folks, for those of you that desire to know the whole truth, the entire truth, and nothing but the whole spiritual truth, here on Watchman's Cry, here on these programs, we talk about the truth, folks, of why judgment is happening. So I want to invite you to please go to my website at watchmanscry.com. If you have not heard that program, please go there. It's free. It's called The Judgment of God Explained, and it's 2 hours of incredible spiritual and biblical knowledge. Take notes, folks. Get familiar with the information that's in there. And then as you do, this is what's going to happen to you. In your spirit and in your mind, you will then know what to expect in the coming future. The events that are coming are going to be in several categories, but they will not catch you off guard. You will be able to understand what's going on. You will not be caught unaware, and you'll be able to explain it to others. You'll have the knowledge to make informed choices and decisions on what you need to be doing now. And that's the other thing about this information, folks. After you hear it, then God will be able to possibly prompt you with things that you need to be doing, because then you will not be in the dark. And I know that some folks think that this information is just negative and gloom and doom, but you know, friends, is the knowledge of hell just gloom and doom? Is hell's reality just spreading fear? If someone talked about hell, are they just a fear monger? Hey, preacher, you talk about that lake of fire too much. Why do you want to scare people with that? You know, folks, that's a silly explanation, but it's pretty true. Because in my opinion, the reality of hell is a motivation to accept the terms of John 3:16, which says, whosoever believes will not perish. And in the same way, I talk about and I warn about the judgment of God, and in the same way, whosoever believes that it's coming and prepares will not perish, hopefully. And by the way, for the person out there that would ask, Well, Nathan, why prepare? Can you guarantee that preparing is going to save you? And here's the answer, folks. I would rather be aware and awake and trust God than be asleep and trust in denial. And knowing this information and being prepared spiritually can equip the listener with hope. My friends, Psalms 91 can be looked at in several ways. Number one, we could look at Psalms 91, a passage of scripture in the Bible, a whole chapter. We could look at it as doom and scary pestilence, dead bodies. No, thank you very much. I don't want to read that one because it's just negative. You know, folks, we could look at it that way, or we could see Psalms 91 as a warning that in the midst of doom, we can find God's secret place, His shelter, His hiding place, and His love, and a promise for long life. So what's the difference? The difference is the willingness to face it and learn about the threat as well as the solution of hope in God. And here at Watchman's Cry, we boldly and openly talk about the things that are approaching. And if you appreciate our efforts, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Ladies and gentlemen, today's program is going to be a very special program. We're going to be focusing on one part of the fourfold judgment, which happens to be famine and drought. And we're going to talk about the historical drought that is underway right now in the USA. I'm pretty sure by now most of you are aware of what's going on, especially if you live in the Midwest or the South. You know that something is amiss when you go outside or even when you have to turn on your air conditioner in your house. Folks, we're shattering records because of this heat wave that is in place right now across a large portion of the Midwest. So in this program, we're going to be talking about the drought. We're going to be talking about the heat wave. In a few minutes, I'm going to be talking to a farmer. I'm going to interview a farmer who happens to be dealing with this drought firsthand, and he's going to share how bad this thing's becoming. I'm also joined today by my lovely wife, Donna. I asked her to come on the program because as we talk about this drought, we are also going to talk about the challenges that we're going to be facing when it comes to food, when it comes to planning with food, planning to have expensive food. I'm going to ask her from the mother's point of view so she can bring a perspective that I can't, so I've asked her to come on the show. In fact, she's right here in the studio. Donna, say hi to all the listeners.
Hi.
She's waving now at everybody. So wave back, folks. So today we're going to look at some of the news reports that are talking about this weather event. So folks, at this point in time, it appears that this drought / heat wave is going to affect all of us in the coming months because food prices are the bottom line of this drought. And they're going to be increasing. In fact, they're already talking about it on mainstream news. Over the last few days, Donna and I have been watching the news. Donna, every morning you go to the computer and you're reading the news reports. It's mainstream, isn't it?
Yeah, the drought is mainstream. The food shortages are now mainstream.
Now, folks, I want to say this. It doesn't take a lot of common sense to notice that we're in trouble right now with this drought.
But not only are we in trouble, the rest of the world is also in trouble because this drought is bigger than America. I've looked at the drought map for the entire world, and a large percentage of the world is in drought, excepting maybe Canada and Russia.
And that's what's interesting. A lot of times we limit the events that are happening in America to the borders, you know, the Canadian border and then the Mexican border, and then we have the coast left and right, east, west. Yesterday we were looking at a drought map, and I believe every continent besides Antarctica.
You're right. Every continent does have it. But Russia did not seem to have any drought, and neither did Canada.
But the ones that did have it, China, India, parts of Africa, parts of South America, this thing is huge, folks. So we're going to talk about this. Now, to get started, I want to share a flashback of a warning prophecy that God gave me almost 3.5 years ago. It was about 3 years and 4 months, but the Holy Spirit gave me a prophecy, and it's on my website. I have spoken about this prophecy. God gave it to me, and I published it on March 18th, 2009. And the name of this prophecy is There Shall Be Drought in the Land, a Word of Fallow Ground Judgment. You can go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and there's a link called Prophecies, Dreams, and Visions, and you'll find it right there. But I'm going to read it right now. I have it in front of me. Here it is. Behold, men's hearts have not followed him. Men's hearts have not feared him. They are parched in the wasteland of their idols and deception. Neither do they thirst for him, the river of life. Neither do they desire to bathe by the brook of his cleansing fountain. The soil of their hearts is dry and fallow. And still the holy messengers cry out, "Come to the river and drink," but the people would not have it. For they desired their own cup, the drink of their toils, their sip of the earth. Now, let me stop right there. Donna, this is one of the grieving things that we've had to deal with in these last days, in the condition of the church. God's water, it's not found, is it?
Is it really even wanted?
That's exactly true. We have spoken to people that do attend church that are starving, though.
There is a small percentage of the body that is starving, that realize that they are starving.
And here's the sad part. The longer that a person endures not having a sip from God's trough, then the cares of life, the struggles, all the mess of being a human being in our lifetime as an adult in America, it's not dealt with if the people go to church and there's no living water there. They leave the same way they went.
Oh, not only the same way, but their crust becomes thicker.
Every week it gets thicker. So that's what this prophecy is talking about. Their hearts are dry, they're fallow. God's messengers are saying, come to the river and drink. But the people don't want it because they would rather present this new gospel of, what is that word, the emergence?
If you even find a church that goes to that much trouble. Most of them are just dry bones.
So this is what the prophecy is saying. Now, let me continue. Now, when in the physical, mankind conducts himself in a certain manner, after a while, a judgment will happen if it goes against God's laws and commandments in it, and a judgment is deserving. That's a whole other show. That's a whole other sermon. I don't want to digress. But many times when God sees that his people are starving or they're thirsty, it will actually play out not only in the spiritual, but it plays out in the physical. Since the American church has no hunger and thirst for the real word of God, for his presence, for his living water, then God says, okay, in the natural, you're not going to have any water. And you're going to find yourself really thirsty. And since you don't want my comfort and my shelter, then you're going to find yourself without a covering and the sun's going to bake you. And this is what the prophecy says. Therefore, the land shall become a desert. This is talking about our land. The planting shall dry up as dust. Their land shall be sick. It shall harvest death. Their visitation shall be a drought from above. The sun shall give her portion, and their cattle shall starve to flesh and bone. They rejected him, the champion of their soul. Therefore, their champions of the land, their herds, shall be destroyed. Now, what this part of the prophecy is saying, drought's going to come. The sun's going to give her portion. It's going to get hot. The cattle is going to starve to flesh and bone. So they're not going to have enough hay because the land's going to be parched because the sun's going to get hot. So the cattle will not have enough food. God is going to allow the champions of the land, which are the, you know, those steers, the cattle that,
yes,
they're going to be destroyed. The prophecy goes on and says, until their cries come to heaven, it shall be done. Until the people turn back to their God, it shall be done. Their herds shall groan because the sleeping ones do not cry out to heaven. So where are those that seek? Where are those that thirst? Where are the voices and cries of his people? Behold, they are in the place of his shelter, but the others shall have no remedy. Now, Donna, you remember when God gave me this prophecy? We lived in Colorado.
Yes, I remember.
Now, at that time, there wasn't much of a drought going on, was there?
None that I know of. We had a very wet winter and good. We actually had a really great garden ourselves that year.
And now here we are. And isn't it amazing? We have this historic drought that just a month ago, it wasn't really on the news. It wasn't really happening.
Well, this year started with a wonderful bang of wet weather, warm weather. They planted more, and I think they planted earlier, actually, than they have in years past, and they were expecting a prosperous crop.
This is what's going on. The drought has started, and we've been in this thing for just a few weeks, but how many people are crying out to God?
Well, apparently our Secretary of Agriculture is crying out to God. I'm just not sure which God he is crying out to.
Oh, you're talking about that story.
Yeah, he said that he gets down on his knees every day and he says a prayer, but then in the same breath he says, or I would do a rain prayer or a rain dance if I could.
Now, who is that? What's his name?
His name is Tom Vilsack.
And he's on the cabinet, on Obama's cabinet?
Yes, Secretary of Agriculture.
Yes, I saw that story. He said he prays, and then the atheist
came out against him saying, how dare he pray?
Even though we don't know who he was praying to.
Yes.
Now, It's interesting. I saw this story on Drudge, and I don't remember if it said America or USA, but it said one of those words, America prays for rain. So I clicked on the story, and you have it right there printed out in front of you, Donna. So based on this story, I don't think that's all of America praying for rain. It's one guy who said he's been praying to someone, but he would do a rain dance also if he could.
Or a rain prayer. I don't even know what that is.
So who's he praying to? Mother Earth or God or who? So, ladies and gentlemen, the key part of praying to God for rain isn't just holding hands and saying, God, bring rain. God has been very clear in the scriptures. And those of you that are awake, those of you that have been Christians long enough, you know the formula. God says, if my people will do, what is it, Donna?
Humble themselves.
Now, it doesn't mean close your eyes. Okay, God, I'm being humble. God, please send rain. Humble yourselves means poor in spirit.
And also you have to turn from your wicked ways.
Okay, turning, repenting entails admitting we're in trouble, admitting we're sinners. So this...
How about admitting that we deserve this?
Exactly. We were in breakfast yesterday. We were looking at in Leviticus, and that's a whole other program, but we were talking about Leviticus 26 when it talks about the judgment, the blessings or the curses of God, and it says to stop the judgment. God spelled it out, didn't he?
He said, be humble, repent, and admit that you deserve what you're getting. The punishment is deserved. You know, when your father spanks you and you come to him afterwards, you're supposed to say, yes, Father, I did wrong.
So I'm looking at this report. Tom Vilsack said he's praying every day for rain, but I don't see repentance. It's not in here, Donna.
I don't think God gives us a drought so we'll pray for rain. I think God gives us a drought so we'll pray for his help, for our sins, for our country, for our families.
So that we'll repent.
Yes.
Okay. Well, folks, I mentioned this prophecy because I wanted it to be on record that God gave the warning over 3 years ago. And I've shared it on several programs that there's going to be drought. And we saw a drought in Texas over the last 2 years. And isn't it interesting now that it has spread to a larger part of the country? So, folks, what is happening right now? It's not a cycle. It's not a coincidence. It's not by chance. This thing is God Almighty. And he's allowing it to happen. He's the maestro. He's the one behind the curtain. Donna, this thing happened real quick, didn't it? It was like a switch going off, and it caught a lot of people off guard. But folks, that's how the judgment happens. It's like we're at a railroad crossing in our car, and a train is crossing in front of our vehicle, and each train car has a different judgment event on it. The drought might have been car 10 or 15 or 20, but that thing just showed up, and here we are. And Donna, it's not just a drought. It's also a weather event, isn't it?
It's a huge weather event because we started out with a fairly normal spring, and now our jet stream has moved so far north that there is just no hope of any rain coming, and the heat has been so intense. Nebraska has had, in Kansas, 105 degrees.
I was looking at some of those numbers. Kansas, there was one town in Kansas that hit, I believe, 110, 108. And then this is what makes it worse. You're exactly right. The jet streams in Canada, that means no air's moving.
I have an article in front of me right here that talks about how the entire Midwest plain is out of whack and they keep shattering records.
I was reading Drudge last week and I saw a number that was just a crazy number. It said several thousand heat records have been broken across the country. And ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be in the Midwest, I can't imagine. The heat index is just off the charts, Donna. This is killing people.
It is. And it's just a miracle that that whole part of the country hasn't lost its power with all the air conditioning units and the fans going 24/7.
Well, I don't know if it was last weekend or the weekend before. I saw a story that in Chicago, there were 18 people that had died that were elderly. And a lot of times that's what you see in these kind of heat events is that the elderly, because they live alone and they're fearful. They don't want to open their windows or doors.
They'll put a fan on, but they won't have any air coming from outside because they're rightfully scared.
And then the temperature
goes up and it's like an oven.
And then when the son or the daughter comes to visit Mama and Grandpa and they find them heat exhaustion or dead. So it's a very sad story. This thing is happening nationwide.
So if you have any elderly neighbors that you know don't get visited very often, please check on them. Take a fan to them. Bring them to your house and let them be in your air conditioning because they're watching their pennies. They're not going to turn on their air conditioner even if they have one. So be helpful to your neighbors.
Oh, that's a real good point, Donna. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was... See, I wouldn't have even thought of that, but I have my wife sitting here and she says, take a fan to the neighbors. So folks, out of everybody listening, I'm sure some of you know some elderly people or maybe your parents or loved ones. Be sure to do that. Be a little bit more vigilant. Check on them. And if they're living in the area of the drought where the heat wave's going on, check on them. So Donna, this thing continues to grow larger and larger. It's like some weird creature from an old 1950s movie that just keeps spreading. You know, like the blob got bigger and bigger. That's how this drought's doing, because I've looked at the drought map over the last few days and it continues to grow bigger and bigger. And I'm reading news reports, and every time I see a report, the percentages of the spread of heat and dryness, it's just growing larger and larger. And I'm not just saying that, folks, because I have a lot of reports in front of me. Donna has some in front of her. And the meteorologists, the climatologists are all using some very dramatic wording when they're talking about this thing, when they compare it to other events in history and other droughts. Donna, how big is this thing now?
Well, they started keeping records on this starting in 1895. So we do have a lot of data to compare this drought to. And on the Weather Channel, they had put up a chart. It was, their source was NCDC.
That's affiliated with a drought monitor.
Okay, well, on that chart, it's got the top 10 in June 2012. We were pretty much in the middle of the worst 10 droughts.
The drought happening right now has made the top 10 list.
Yes, as of yesterday at this printout, it was number 5.
Now, this drought, the way they calculate it is they take the United States, and then they take the area that's affected by drought, and then they can come up with a percentage of drought coverage. So the worst one in history, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I have continually stated that I believe that the first Great Depression that started in 1929, that ended in 1945, that was a 16-year period of time in history, was a season where the United States was experiencing the judgment of God. And the reason that I believe that is because when we look at the events that happen in a judgment, we see the same four categories over and over. It has to do with the fourfold judgment. When I did my program that explained the judgment of God, we went into great detail. But the fourfold judgment entails, number one, what's the first one, Donna?
Famine.
And then number two?
The sword.
Okay, and then number three?
Pestilence.
And then number four?
The beast.
Now, what's the beast?
The beast is physical beast. The Bible calls them noisome beasts, but it's also spiritual. It's also demons that are infesting people.
The release of evil spirits here in modern times. And we have talked about that, folks, that God does allow evil to be released on the land during his judgment periods. We see that in Revelation. The ground opens up, the frogs come out. It talks about Babylon being the cage of hateful birds and demon spirits. So the fourfold judgment, famine, the sword, which is war, pestilence, and evil beasts. Now, these four categories occurred in the first depression. We saw the famine, we saw the pestilence, we saw war, and we saw evil. The Nazi Holocaust was very evil. This was a worldwide event. Also during that time, we had an economic crisis, we had the stock market crisis, we had food lines, and then we had the Dust Bowl. We had a drought taking place in the 30s for 6 years. This thing was historic. This thing was huge. So in this list of the top 10 droughts that the United States has experienced since 1895, how many of the years in the 30s made this list, Donna?
The worst year for drought was 1934, and we had a 79.9% drought. That means 79% of the country was covered in drought.
Almost 80% of the country.
80%. That's incredible.
That's incredible. So that happened in
1934.
Okay, in 34. And then what's number two?
Number two was 1939, and that was a 62% drought.
Okay.
Third is 1954, which was a 60% drought. Fifth was December 1956.
Okay, so we have the mid-50s, and then we also have the Dust Bowl. So far, the 50s and the Dust Bowl are the worst droughts.
Yes.
Okay, and then?
And then, there's us. June 2012, 54.6%.
Now, when this was tallied, this was in June. I believe, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, that number has increased almost 10%. We're in the 60s now, folks. It's incredible. Okay, so then?
1936.
So there's more Dust Bowl in there? Okay.
And then 1925, and then 1977, and 1988.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, the Dust Bowl made the top 10 list four times, is it?
Yep, four times.
Okay, so they are now saying that this drought that's happening right now in 2012 is rivaling the numbers that we see in the Dust Bowl. So that's very interesting, Donna. Again, ladies and gentlemen, right now we're experiencing and seeing with our very eyes part of the judging hand of God. This thing is real. This thing is tangible. It's not pretend. So we're facing a very, very important challenge. Now, I have a friend that is a listener to this program, and I felt that one of the best things that I could do was to actually talk to a real farmer that is dealing with this thing. So I have a listener that happens to be a farmer. He's located in the state of South Dakota. His name is Ben. He's a brother in Christ. He knows what time it is. He's aware of all the things that are going on in the world. So he has been graciously willing to come on the program and to answer questions about this drought. So, Brother Ben, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, Ben, thanks for coming on the program. We spoke a few days ago. I called you up, and I was just picking your brain trying to get some information about this drought. I'm limited to the reports that I can gain from the internet and all my browsing and searching and digging, but it's good to be able to talk to a real farmer that understands this battle of the drought and trying to cope with it. So thanks for coming on the program. Can you just share just real briefly how long you've been farming and how large your farm is?
Well, I'm not a very big farmer by today's standards. I only farm about 400 acres of ground. I started farming back in around 1970, left it for about 5 years, and then came back. So all these years, except for 5 years, I've been farming.
When a farmer chooses their crop, is there a certain thing that helps you to decide what to plant, or is it the same thing, or do you rotate, or what?
Well, we generally rotate, but then the price of a given commodity, corn or soybeans or whatever the commodity may happen to be, if it's particularly high beginning of that season, there might be more of a opportunity to plant more of that particular commodity.
Okay, now let's talk about the drought. It seems that this story has gained traction fairly quickly in the last few weeks. How long has this thing been on the table of a concern in your life?
Well, as a farmer, it's a big thing for us because we're always concerned about whether we're getting too much rain or not enough rain. So we had actually gotten a pretty good rainstorm early in the season, around the 1st of June, filled up everything, even drowned it out a little bit, but then it just shut off. And not only did it shut off, it also turned very hot and stayed hot for long periods of time. So, yes, we do watch it carefully here.
It's not just a drought. It's also a heat wave. Is this a normal thing this early in the season, or when you compare it to a regular season, how does this differ?
This has been quite unusual because we've had wet years for so many years, which was also quite unusual. But the heat came much earlier than normal. It just basically stopped raining. We would get just a little here and a little there, but it wouldn't amount to anything. And so, yes, I would consider it unusual.
Now, when I'm reading the reports about this, I'm hearing the comparisons to the drought of 1988 or in the mid-50s, and that seemed to be the comparison. But now, over the last few days, I'm starting to hear them compare this drought to the 1930s, the Dust Bowl. Have you also heard similar reports?
I have, even though I'm somewhat familiar with both of those situations. The drought in the 30s started, and then it went from 1 year to the next year, and it just progressively got worse until we ran into Dust Bowl. And naturally, this year, because it's beginning, all the vegetation grew up. Although there's places where it's completely dead now, you still have that vegetation on there. So if winds come, we're not going to get that dust. But if this happens to progress and go into the next year or even into a third year, and of course there's no way we're going to know for sure if that will happen, but if it does happen, then I think that's kind of what they're talking about, that this could be similar or even worse.
Now, the situation where you are in the Dakotas, how bad is it so far up to this point? We're in the middle of July. When is the harvest supposed to happen? How much time do you have before you harvest, and how much rain do you need to get? What do you think we're facing based on what you're hearing?
Well, we did start earlier than normal this year, and so harvest would normally be just a little earlier. The heat has a tendency to really push the crop. Not so much in soybeans. Soybeans are matured by light, but we've had a lot of sunlight as well, so they're a little bit ahead as well, along with the early planting. We will need actually quite a lot of rain at this particular point. If we got a 2 to 3 inch rain this would probably stave off catastrophe, but at this point there's no prediction for that. They're actually stating, I just saw a report last Sunday that was indicating that for the next 30 days it's supposed to be hot and dry. So if this continues on, I see that there's a potential for a huge loss.
Okay, when you say huge loss, you're talking about the farmers around you in your area or nationwide?
Well, I'm saying nationwide because there's always going to be places where there'll be crops and there'll maybe even be some garden spots. But when you're starting to look at, I just read a report this morning that says two-thirds of the Corn Belt is under a drought or high stress conditions. If this continues on, it could turn to a catastrophe. I'm not saying that it will turn to that, but it could turn to that, which means that we would have half a crop or possibly less.
Now, in order for us to cross that bridge where it becomes a catastrophe, what are we talking?
Well, there again, that's a hard thing to predict because every area is going to be a little bit different. But I'd say with the extensive heat that we've had, I don't know how we can survive another 3 weeks or even 4 weeks of dry with all this heat. Every day that crop is losing yield. Every week we're going to get a report that shows us a 10 or 15% reduction in total losses. So for everybody it's going to be a little bit different, but there's a turning point. And there again, that's different for everyone, but gets so dry, and at some point, even if you got a rain, you're not going to be able to recover. And I'd say that we're 2 to 3 weeks from that.
All right. So for the listeners that are paying attention, if we look at our calendars, it's about the middle of July. So if these heat conditions and these dry conditions continue through the first week of August without a change, then you're saying we could be looking at a catastrophe.
I think we could be. Of course, I'm just a farmer. You know, I'm not doing all the reporting out there. There will be, again, some good spots, but I think that there's going to be a tremendous amount of low yields. See, I'd say corn will be taking the hardest hit. Soybeans is going to take a hit as well, but it has more staying power. So we could still get a half a crop of soybeans in 3 weeks from now if we could get a rain. But I don't believe the corn crop has the ability to survive for another 3 weeks without rain if we continue to get all this heat.
Okay, so for the listeners that are paying attention, let's say that this comes to fruition. Let's say that in the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, there's no rain in a large portion of these areas that are experiencing the heat wave. If that happens, the prices that we're going to be facing are going to be a lot different than what they are now. What are we talking about? Because before the drought started, I believe the corn price per bushel was around $5. Is that correct?
That is correct. And today, that would have been about a month ago, maybe a little longer than that. It would have been around $5 a bushel. That's what they were predicting it to be, probably no higher than that by this fall. They were expecting a good-sized crop. Right now, I can sell corn for about $7.50 a bushel, so it's made a huge increase since then.
Now, for the listener that doesn't understand these exact terms, including me, Ben, can you give us just a quick primer? How big is a bushel, and that price that we hear quoted, is that the price that the farmer actually gets when he sells it?
That's correct. A bushel is, for corn, it's about 56 pounds of product. And if anybody has ever gone to a hardware store or a grain feed store, maybe you've seen a bushel basket or a bushel of apples. If you see a bushel basket full of apples, it'd be about a bushel, would be equivalent to corn. And soybeans would be the same. But it does vary in weight. Soybeans is 60 pounds. Corn is 56 pounds. Oats is 32 pounds, 33 pounds. So each bushel is just heavier or lighter, but it's still, from a capacity standpoint, it would be like two 5-gallon pails of paint.
All right. So right now you said you can get about seven, and I've also been hearing a price quoted on the news. They're saying maybe up to $10 for a bushel of corn.
It's always fun to think that we can make those predictions. And I think that it is possible that it could go $10 a bushel. I believe that soybeans could go to $20 a bushel. It could even go higher than that. But the thing that we have to take into consideration is that we still only make about 15% of whatever you buy, unless you're buying sweet corn. But whatever you're buying out there, most of our products only make up about 15 to 20% of what's in there. So that means that as our prices go up, if you double the price of our product, let's say that it does happen, it shouldn't make that as big a difference to the price. But here's what generally happens. Even now, it's starting to raise the prices of things. As more news outlets begin to talk about all this drought and everything, the suppliers, the people who buy and package and resell this product, they somehow feel like they can take advantage of this situation. And I'm not saying everyone does this. But, you know, they're starting to already lean into raising the price of a loaf of bread or a steak or whatever it happens to be, simply because everybody thinks it's going to go up, and so it does go up. So I think that things could go, as we were talking last time, I think that the prices of food is probably going to go up 20 to 30% by the middle of winter.
By the middle of winter. Now, that's based on what we were saying, if there's no rain for the next 3 to 4 weeks and we face this catastrophe that you had mentioned, we could see 20 to 30% increase in food prices. Now, when I was talking to you a few days ago, you also said it could actually even get worse than the catastrophe. It could be a major catastrophe. And what would qualify that as happening?
Well, that would be almost a shock to the system. Right now, they're predicting 146 bushel per acre yield for corn. If by some chance that was half of that, let's say it's 75 bushels of corn per acre, and that in my mind would be a catastrophe, because there would be such a shortage of feed for livestock and food to be used to package and resell that then we could see tremendous increases in prices.
Now, of course, that's up to the plan of God and the direction that he's taking, his judgment, of course, because we know this nation's under judgment right now. So already it seems to be that we're going to be facing 20 to 30%. What are some of the items that we would see that happening?
Well, what's interesting is the corn that we grow today is processed and it is made into corn syrup, and it's a sweetener. And they use sweetener in almost everything that is produced today. There's some kind of sweetening in almost everything that we buy. And so I would say almost everything is going to raise somewhat in price. But if you start thinking about, well, where does a lot of this corn go? It goes into feeding livestock, eggs, chickens. Chickens lay eggs, and then we eat the meat of chickens, pork, beef, lamb, anything that eats grain, milk. Milk will go up in price.
And cheese, right?
Cheese will go up in price. Now, that would probably be the largest increase, because there will be a great reduction in these supplies, because there won't be enough feed for anything.
That's incredible. Now, if I was having this conversation with you a month ago after 3 days of drought, we would just be speculating. But we've already crossed several weeks of effect where there's no going back, and it does seem that there's going to be at least a 20 to 30% at this point increase in food prices.
Well, I think that there's a high probability of it.
Okay. So that's one thing that we're going to have to deal with. And then the next thing to consider is could be even higher. So one thing that I'm wondering about is, as you brought up, the original Dust Bowl in the 30s went into the next year and the next year. It was a several year event. So if this thing is going to actually take place into next year, and there's no way of knowing, but right now with the damage that the heat is doing, does it do something to the ground that takes a little bit longer to recover, becoming fallow, or is it pretty easy to recover if the rains come back?
If the rains come back, it can recover. Yes, it can recover, and we're always hoping for that. But what we will do this fall is we'll work our ground much less. We'll leave a lot of the residue on top of the ground, keep it from blowing, and hopefully catch snow in the winter. But we didn't get much snow this past winter. We could be into that cycle where we don't even get much snow.
So that's something we're going to have to be watching. Now, there was another question I wanted to ask you. There was a report that came out. B of A, I believe, is the one that said farmers are going to benefit because they all have crop insurance, so it's not that big of a deal. Can you comment on that? And is that a true statement?
That's kind of like hoping that your house burns down so that you can have collect insurance on it. No, it doesn't really work that way. When we take out insurance, we take out just enough insurance to keep us from completely going under. We're hoping that we can get paid off enough to pay our bills, and then we can restock for the next planting season. So we will suffer, but hopefully we won't go under. So that's what insurance does for us.
Okay, so now let's bring this home to the husbands and wives and the mothers and fathers who are listening right now. Because the bottom line is this. The whole reason that you do what you do is to plant seeds that harvest into food that ends up at the store. That's the bottom line, having food available for people to eat. Based on what we're seeing happen right now, I believe you told me a few days ago that, in your opinion, you think that this is the beginning of some hard times. And that's what we could all be facing as a country. Now, of course, there are pockets and regions that maybe will have a little bit better than others, but based on what we're seeing happen right now, when we couple it with all the unemployment and just the general events that are happening in America, you're a listener, Ben. We're on the same page. We have a divine appointment that's going on in the country right now. This is just another chapter of it or another event, meaning it's going to be hard. So the people that are awake, the wise ones, would probably be very smart to take these matters to heart and do something about it. So if you were able to have someone sitting down in front of you right now, what kind of advice would you give them? What would you tell them right now?
Well, the first thing I tell them is to listen to people like you, and there's a few of them around. There's a tremendous frustration that I have, and I've been talking for the last couple of years to people about probably would be a good idea to start storing up some extra food, start getting ready for hard times. Don't know the timetable on it, but you've been telling people for a long time now there's hard things coming. Well, now the drought just happens to be one of those events that if you're not awake now, if your audience is not awake now with the possibility that there could be a food shortage, the prices are going to go up. You may not even be able to get certain foods. If you're not stocking up, I think you're being very foolish. And not just foolish, you're being detrimental to your family. This is important. This is necessary to start thinking about. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. I had a dream last night. And I woke up and I thought, well, did I just think that, or was it really a dream? Well, I've had all day to think about it, and I believe it was a dream. In that dream, I had some people surrounding me, Christian people, people that I know are Christian, and they're listening to a report, and they're just kind of scoffing at this report that, you know, this can't happen in America, this can't happen in our community and to my home, to my family. And it was like the Lord told me to really scold these people. You know, what is it going to take to awaken you? It's sitting here right in front of you. If you're not waking up now, you're going to go through terrible times.
Now, in your local area, when you encounter other farmers, what's the general mood with them? Do they see it? Are they willing to talk about it?
Well, they do see it, but farmers are basically optimistic people. Even under the worst conditions, we always look at, well, next year it'll be better. But there is a grimness out there. We've had several good years, and that's helpful. But I know that when the farmer suffers, our whole community suffers, because we buy a lot of machinery and supplies. And what that's going to do is just the demand is going to be less, and so people won't make as much money.
You had mentioned, Ben, that you are with other believers that are farmers. You've been having prayer meetings with them, asking God to bless your land with rain?
There's actually three of us that meet on a regular basis. We started almost 2.5 years ago. We meet once a week, and we spend time in fellowship, and then we pray. We pray every week for everything that is of importance to us, our families, our communities, our neighbors. And so this is something that I believe the Lord has placed upon my heart and the hearts of those who have been meeting with me, and it's time to start fellowshipping and praying with one another.
Amen. You know, each of us has our, you know how it says in the Bible, God takes his measuring line and his rod, and he measures our hearts. He weighs us in his balance. So we all have our different report card, if you will. So based on where we are in the report card, God decides what we need to build our faith or to heal us, etc. So he allows events to happen in our lives. So you had mentioned that you believe that purging is going to be a part of God's coming plan.
I remember talking about how you have struggled with several things in your life, and I believe that it happens to every Christian. If you have not had a time in your life that you have not had stress or trials or tribulations, I wouldn't count that as a blessing. I think that each person has to struggle because it takes sacrifice to measure what God wants to do through you as an individual. So I think that there are going to be trials and tribulations coming, and it's opportune times for us to learn.
Amen. Well, Ben, when I woke up this morning, I didn't know that I was going to be calling you asking for your thoughts on this drought, but I find that interesting that God gave you a dream last night where people were mocking and scoffing the report. That's very interesting because I believe that every person listening has experienced that in their life. We all have loved ones, friends, acquaintances, etc., where we are trying to tell them about the information. I get a lot of emails from people that get discouraged because no one wants to listen to them.
It makes me sad that people in general, and this is not everyone, there are some people that are very conscious of what's going on around them, but I find that people are almost brain dead. It's like they don't ever listen to the news, or they never read a newspaper, or never pick up a book. They just live from day to day. In some cases, I understand that, especially a young family. I mean, you're busy trying to do everything that you can possibly do. You don't have time to pick up on all this, but I'm absolutely amazed at how few people are aware of what's going on around them. I liken it to a blindness. I think that there is a level of blindness as God has withdrawn from America. All the favor that we have had, all the benefits that we have had. I don't know how you can get through the day without God. People do it all the time, I'm fairly sure of that, but as God is withdrawn, it is making it harder and harder and harder for people to think clearly and to understand what's going on around them. That's the way I look at it.
And isn't it amazing that we have gotten this far in this drought, but the spiritual connection is left out? The blindness that you're talking about, that's where we are. I appreciate your thoughts on the spiritual because God is the only remedy and safety net and solution and fortress. Well, I appreciate you sharing. Thanks for being on the program. God bless you.
You're most welcome, and God bless you and your audience, and I hope everybody keeps moving forward towards God.
Amen. Praise God. That was Ben from South Dakota. Off the air, Ben also asked me, he said, Nathan, will you ask your listeners to pray for my farm and also for the people that I have my prayer meeting with? So these are our brethren in Christ. Folks, without these farmers, we're not going to eat. So Ben, thanks for coming on the program. Now, moving on, when I was doing my research, I came across several news stories that talked about how serious this drought is, and I found stories on all the big cable channels are now talking about it, Donna. You've seen a few of them yourself, right?
Yeah, it's out in the open, finally.
So I want to start out by playing this soundbite from this news channel, and then after I play this one, I'm going to play another one, and then I'm going to talk about some of the actual numbers. So, folks, listen to this report right here.
A withering pasture in Arkansas, reservoirs gone dry, and cracked earth now being seen throughout much of the nation. More than 1,000 counties have been declared disaster areas. Over the past 6 weeks, the drought has spread dramatically, now blanketing more than 60% of the lower 48 states, with some of the hottest months still ahead.
This bean plant should be about 2 feet tall by now.
These plants should be over my head.
The impact on agriculture is devastating. 30% of the corn crop is now in poor or very poor condition, up from 22% the previous week.
But I think now even a 2-inch rain would not salvage this crop.
But crops aren't the only casualty.
It's
just devastating. It is. It looks like what I count the desert.
Grazing grounds are barren, forcing ranchers to either buy feed for their hungry cattle or sell off their herds.
If no significant rain comes, I'll have to go out of business.
Food prices are going to increase. We are a nation that eats a lot of beef.
The heat wave that has been baking large parts of the American Midwest, where nearly 40% of the world's corn is grown. It's a development that could have widespread effects on food prices around the world. And the weather led the U.S. Department of Agriculture on Thursday to slash its production forecasts for the crop. Craig Morrill has more from the state of Iowa.
A withering sun has beaten down on most of the American Midwest with little rain over the past few weeks. Conditions that can make life stressful for farmers like Bob Bauman.
Last year on my farm we had a very good year, and I produced on the average, speaking about corn, I produced a little over 200 bushels per acre average. Now this year we're with the dry weather that we're experiencing now, we're projecting something less than that.
The growing season started off with the largest corn plantings in more than 70 years, but weather has caused government forecasters to drastically slash their yield outlooks. Prices of corn futures have soared.
Iowa is the largest corn-growing state in the largest corn-producing country. The world gets 10% of its corn right here from the state of Iowa. So price fluctuations here and in the rest of the U.S. Corn Belt will ripple throughout the global food supply.
The corn we produce here in the U.S. for the vast majority is yellow corn. That's usually used as a livestock feed. And so it's used to feed the cattle, the hogs, the chickens, the turkeys, even some fish are fed corn. And so the idea is that as you drive corn prices up, you're driving feed cost up for the livestock producers, which ends up driving up meat prices that end up affecting consumers worldwide.
The dryness in the U.S. comes right when corn plants need water most.
The corn stage is probably the most crucial stage for the corn plant. It's in the pollination stage. The corn plant is very sensitive to weather conditions at the time of pollination. It is especially sensitive to hot and dry conditions during that time.
The last time a major drought hit U.S. agriculture was in 1988, when corn prices rose by 50%. Craig Morrow, CCTV, Welton, Iowa.
Wow, isn't that interesting, folks? They're talking about it. They're interviewing farmers. It's not hard to find farms where the corn is supposed to be over your head and it's just waist high. This is incredible. Listen to this other story right here.
CBS2's Gabe Erickson live in Linn County tonight with more on how this could affect your grocery bill. Gabe.
Time is running out for farmers to find rain, and if it doesn't come soon, it's going to cost you too.
The signs of drought are showing.
Water's precious.
A close look at fields in Linn County, you see cracked soil, dying, and already dead corn.
Our subsoil moisture is basically getting depleted.
That's because the corn crop has about 1 month left before the yield is what it is.
The next couple of weeks, we could really use a drink.
I think we're past the 11th hour as far as getting a rain in the nick of time to get the record yields that the government predicted.
A good rain could mean an average year, but the chances are slipping each day it's dry. And that means bad news, not only for farmers, but for everyone.
When we get higher yields, everybody benefits. It's cheaper grain, cheaper livestock, meat, and many of the goods that we buy in the grocery store.
Farmers do have a backup plan called crop insurance. If the drought continues, they'll have to cash in on that. But that mostly covers the bills. These guys won't see much revenue to support their business or family if rain doesn't come soon.
I'd much rather grow good crop than take crop insurance any day.
We just have to have it, so we're looking for it all the time.
Gabe Erickson, CBS 2 News.
Well, the hot weather is driving up prices at the grocery store. Many things from corn to meat and eggs are expected to soar in the coming weeks. 11 News reporter Carrie Cavanaugh joins us live in North Baltimore with that part of the story. Carrie.
Well, the scorching temperatures have triggered drought conditions in many key corn-producing states. And that means you can plan to pay more for everything from steak to eggs.
Prepare to pay more at the grocery store. That's the message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which projects the Midwestern drought will push food prices up across the country.
This heat has a decimating effect
Sandy Berry owns the Bellegarde and Byright supermarket on Bel Air Road. She says price spikes on crops like wheat, corn, and soybeans will trigger increases on everything from meat to milk and bread. She expects the biggest hit to come in the butcher's department.
Corn is one of the major ingredients in cattle feed. And consequently, when the price of corn goes up, that feed goes up, and it creates a hardship on the farmers, the ranchers who raise the cattle. Their reaction to that is that they'll trim their herds dramatically.
Which will decrease supply and drive up prices for red meat, Veritas 11 News.
What do? You have to eat that's first, right?
Shoppers like Therese Fitch say they're already clipping coupons to stretch their grocery budgets. Fitch says she spends over $200 a week.
I have seven children and grandchildren.
And Fitch says she often relies on cheaper staples like chicken or eggs, both of which are expected to cost more soon, according to Vary.
Poultry also tend not to lay large eggs. They will lay only small eggs, if they lay at all. And it also has an impact on the viability of poultry, so consequently some of the chickens will die.
It's all worrisome news for seniors like Mary Webb, who understands that as the cost of food goes up, those on a fixed income will have to sacrifice somewhere else.
We try to make it go and do as you know, spend it as wisely as we possibly can. And a lot of things that we normally buy and get, we cut down on that to save money.
Now, corn is also used to make ethanol. Energy analysts, however, say that ethanol prices are holding steady, more in line with gas prices than with grocery store prices. But under federal law, the ethanol industry gets the first 5 billion bushels of corn produced every year in the U.S. And some economists believe that if corn production drops like they expect it to, there could be a battle over food versus fuel on Capitol Hill. Reporting live in North Baltimore, I'm Carrie Cavan on WBAL TV 11 News.
The dry weather not only sparking fires, but hurting area farmers.
All of these dry conditions mean there's not going to be much of a corn crop this year. I'm Theo Keith with how farmers are scrambling for their insurance policies.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me. I'm Jennifer Hoff. Andy Choi is off tonight. Corn growers say they'll have little or no crop this year. News 3's Theo Keith explains how insurance will help some of them, but not all of them, huh?
Yeah, Jen, you take a drive and you'll see it. Acre after acre of crop carnage. Corn growers are coming to the reality that they're looking at a total loss. The pollination process that forms the ear of corn is in full swing, and it can't work without rain.
At Ken Lutie's Rock County Farm, brown is the new green.
I've been farming since I graduated high school in 75. I went through 76 and I went through 88. They were dry, but I don't think they were nearly this dry.
His 3,000 acres of corn need a drink, but it hasn't rained in 4 weeks. The parched plants won't yield nearly as much as last year.
I probably had 500,000 bushels of corn that I sold, and this year I don't know if I'm going to have 50.
Half a million to
50, 10%.
The near total loss makes his insurance critical.
It lets me sleep at night. It lets my banker sleep at night. My family can then sleep at night, so it makes it a lot more comfortable.
And if he didn't have it?
Scratching my head.
Insurance policies are expensive, and only about 69% of Wisconsin corn growers have a policy. But for those who do, insurance companies have some advice they should follow.
They need to really keep excellent records this fall when they are harvesting their crop.
Michelle Austin is the director of insurance for Baraboo-based Badgerland Financial.
Under the circumstances we're in, it's probably best that they just take it to harvest, whether that be chopping for silage or taking it to grain to see if there is anything left and salvageable from that crop.
This should be a big cluster. This should all contain dirt and moisture.
By the looks of Ken Lutie's corn stalks, he might not have much to salvage. Frustrated but insured, he'll get through to next year.
Tough times. Lutie also grows soybeans. The critical time for them is still about a month away, but they still need rain. He said he'd be out of business or have to change his business drastically if he didn't have insurance to cover the loss. That, of course, does not foreshadow good things for the one-third of corn growers that aren't covered.
What about the farmers that don't have insurance? Is it too late for them now?
Yeah. It is. Unfortunately, it is. Yeah, the March 15th is the deadline.
All right, Theo. Thank you.
Isn't that amazing, folks? In a matter of a few weeks. And here we are right now. Now, folks, if you remember what Ben said, he said we need to watch this in the next 2 or 3 weeks if we don't see a substantial change. I have a feeling, Donna, that we're going to start seeing some headline stories in the commodities market. They're going to start talking about the prices of other things, wheat, soybeans.
Absolutely, and food is going to go up now. It's not going to wait until this food is supposed to be on the market. The food we have now will start going up.
According to some of the government forecasters, they are saying that this drought could last past October. They're saying that right now. So here we are, a week and a half left of July, and then we have August and September. So we could have 2 to 3 more months of this drought. And I had another report that I wanted to share. Here it is right here. 100% of Iowa has been classified as abnormally dry as of just a few days ago. And Illinois, which is being harder hit with more severity, they're the number 2 corn and soy producer in the United States. They have hit 66% of their area under severe drought. And that's up from 40% just a week ago. Donna, 1 week ago, Illinois was just 40% in severe drought. Now they hit 66%. On top of that, Indiana was 68% last week, and now they're at 80% in 1 week. They're jumping fast. There's no moisture in the ground. But aside from that, we also have heat. And I believe that the heat numbers that are coming out are also historical.
Yeah, NOAA has even come out with a report that says that the January to June period was the hottest half year on record ever in the United States.
This year from January to June?
From January to June, the hottest for the whole country. 29 of the states were seriously affected.
So we are witnessing something. This is divine. This is not an accident. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing is happening in real time. This is a huge historical event. In conclusion, what can we say needs to be done? Donna, let's bring it all together. Let's wrap it up, because the bottom line of this entire thing is, how is it going to affect our listeners, the moms that are listening, the fathers, those that have children? People have kids to feed.
Well, you know, the thing about corn is that not only does it feed us, it feeds everything we eat, and it feeds our vehicles with ethanol. So pretty much anything you buy at the store is going to go up. So if you can stock up on things right now, now is the time to start thinking about the things that you use the most.
Now, corn, Donna, is in a lot of things in the store.
Well, things you don't even think of. Like, corn is in adhesives, aluminum, it's in clothing starch, cosmetics, cough syrup, it's in dry cell batteries. The list goes on and on. You would have no clue how many things we put corn into. 75% of grocery store products contain corn as a key ingredient. So much of it is going to skyrocket in price. Corn is in ethanol. Why would you take our biggest feed source and turn it into fuel? I don't know.
Corn syrup's in everything. So
not really good for you, but yeah, it's in everything.
So bottom line, we're looking at a 20 to 30% increase. But some of these reports that I had, they said the increases, they're going to be continual into even 2013.
And that's based on where we are right now. And it's not getting better. So that 30% could quickly become 50%. And we've already seen a 50% increase in the cost of groceries in the last 8 years.
So you do the shopping. You know what we need. I don't worry about it. That's delegated to you. What are we going to see go up? Ben talked about beef and cheese and dairy products.
Pretty much anything you eat is going up. Chicken product, chicken, eggs, butter's going up, milk, half and half, cream, cereal. We like to eat cereal once in a while as a special treat, but it's so expensive and it's going to get way more expensive. So those are the things you should be stocking up on, because I don't even know if you're going to be able to afford cereal by the time this is over. Maybe everybody will be eating oatmeal.
Well, Donna, today we went to Safeway. Those cereal boxes are tiny. They've shrunk, and they're either going to get smaller in the next few months, or we're going to see some outrageous prices.
Or they're going to tell you the serving size is smaller. Instead of half a cup, they'll say you should only eat 1/4 of a cup.
Is that what it's down to, half a cup?
Yeah, it says a serving size of cereal is like half a cup.
Half a cup. Nutritional information is, ladies and gentlemen, half a cup. Okay, here's your, how many tablespoons does that translate to? Just
like 6 bites of cereal.
Did anyone catch that?
No, people don't catch that. They think it's all being done for health reasons.
Donna, what do people need to be doing right now? What do they need to be investing in? You know, you can pay now or pay later, but you're going to pay no matter what.
You're going to pay. But I would stock up on the basics. Everybody's different, but I would stock up on as much as you can of products that you will use.
What kind of products are you talking about?
If you have a freezer and you could stock up on some chicken, stock up on some beef, if you have a pantry that you could store some oil in, some pancake syrup, that kind of stuff, all of those things use corn products.
Also, buying smart is the other thing, isn't it? Buying in bulk, maybe trying to find some of them food warehouse type stores.
Yeah, if you can do it, you know, when you buy in bulk, you can always pour it into a smaller container, but buying bulk is the way to go to save money.
So we can't tell everyone where to go. And ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how to do it, but I just hope and pray that everyone listening would take this warning to heart, because that's what this is. This is a warning. Donna, this thing, this is like the hurricane has made landfall. It's 5 miles away, or we can actually feel the winds. This thing is here. It's not a prediction. It's not maybe. This thing is happening now. We're going to see this thing play out in higher food prices, aren't we?
Double, maybe, even in some instances.
Folks, this is amazing. This thing is here now. So the best thing that I can recommend is, number one, we have to find alignment with God, which happens only one way, through repentance, through prayer, through humbleness, through getting our life in order. And folks, I just want to encourage you and let you know that God is merciful. God's always ready to listen to the heart that is humble. He is close to the heart that is contrite. And that's the hope and faith that we can have. Folks, seek repentance with God, and then after that, seek God for wisdom on what to do. The clock is ticking, and the windows are closing, aren't they?
Well, I would rather do what I can so that Jesus has a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread to work with.
That's good. Instead of nothing.
Instead of nothing.
Folks, this is an ongoing story. We're going to be talking about this much more, I'm pretty sure, in the upcoming programs. Also, I want to encourage you, if you do not get our notifications, go to our website at watchmanscry.com and subscribe to our notifications, and we will let you know when the new audios come out. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.